this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome back to Wellness and Dentistry. Today, we're going to be talking about how associates can actually take back control. I know many associate doctors, one of their biggest concerns is they don't really have control of what's happening in the practice, what materials they're using, how what's being scheduled. And so today we're going to talk about how to take back control, even if you're an associate. But if you're a practice owner, this is also important for you too. It's going to be very similar. So I am Dr. Kyle Stanley. I'm a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and a researcher. And I am joined by my very good friend and your co-host, Dr. Martin Mendelson. He is a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and author. And his first book, One Move Makes All the Difference, is available for pre-order now and is coming out at the beginning of December. And together, Martin and I have helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. Martin, what are your thoughts on this topic for today?
Well, first of all, I love it because it's one that I've had so many times throughout my career. And it makes me think of two different types of control. Or let me rephrase, two different types of lack of control. There's absolute lack of control and perceived lack of control. Because sometimes there's a perception that you don't have control relative to certain case acceptance tools, as an example, because in very, very rare circumstances, no one's telling an associate how to talk to a patient, how to express the condition of their oral cavity and what can be done. It's very rare that that's dictated. So then, therefore, couldn't you theoretically use anything and everything to help that patient understand where they are to then therefore say yes? I used to run into this all the time at Spear with patient education because they'd say, well, we don't use that in the practice. And I'd look at them and say, so what? They don't tell you what to say either, do they?
Right.
So
another thing that I've seen with associates, I like that you said perceived lack of control because mm-hmm. A big one that I hear with associates is that I don't dictate which materials we use.
Yeah.
Which is common, right? The office orders this composite. I was just on a call with a team from mm-hmm. Kerr. So I'll say they order Kerr composite.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're used to using Curare or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And one thing that I always like to ask people is, have you talked to the lead doctor or the owner to see if it's a possibility? And they're like, well, no, I haven't. Well, then how do you actually know that they're stopping you from ordering? And I want to be sensitive to this. The answer may be no. You know,
sure,
we order this specific composite and deal with it.
Yeah.
But unless you ask, you don't know. And there's been times of people that have taken our courses that they go back to, whether it's a DSO, whether it's just a private office, single owner, and say, hey, you know, I was trained on this specific bonding system and I would feel so much more comfortable if I use this. And many times owners like, oh yeah, sure, you can order that. I just thought mm-hmm. you liked this one. Like they didn't even know that it was a problem.
Right. And what I would also say too is that, and this goes for the materials discussion or anything else for that matter, oftentimes the conversation isn't held effectively. And so it's all about, well, I'm not used to using that. Okay, great. That's fine. And not but, what are the ramifications of your lack of knowledge or experience with that material? Have you noticed that for whatever reason, you know, a DO on number 4 took you 40 minutes or what have you when it should have taken you 20? What are the tangible ramifications, repercussions, facts, if you will, relative to why this is a problem? And if you, the individual that has a challenge with, for example, specific composite, and you can't think of the reasons, then I would simply ask you to look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, wait a minute. What's really going on here? Maybe I'm making this up.
This is such a great point that you brought up,
mm.
which is communication is a skill.
Yeah.
And even if you think, like, let's go to that example again. But I already talked to the lead doctor, and he or
Right.
she said,
Oh, I love this one.
no, we can't order because of this reason. And you say, well, what exactly did you say? Right. And Martin and I have learned this the hard way, that communication is a skill. And
Absolutely.
better communicators get more as well because they're good at communicating. It's a skill like anything else, right? Think of like the absolute best trial lawyer. Why are they paid more than someone just out of law school? Because they're better at communicating. I mean, that's it. They're all about communication. I mean, maybe they're also better at discovery, or maybe they're also better at presentation, but really, it's communication skills, and that's why they're paid more. And so, even if you've had this conversation, I'd encourage you to get the training, whether that's from us or from others, then have that conversation again. And again, the answer may still be no,
Yeah,
but
totally.
at least you'll know it's no for a specific reason and that you did it at your best ability.
So this brings up something interesting. You've read an advanced copy of my book, so you know that in there I actually talk about my experience applying for the AMES meeting, the American Association of Oral Maxillofacial Surgeons. And the reason why I talk about it in my book, it might sound a little strange because the book is not about dentistry or dentists. It had everything to do with how I looked at my own past efforts in applying to AMES. Because AMES, and I say this with a great deal of respect, has the most onerous application to speak at their meeting that I've ever seen in my life. And I write about in the book that when I finally realized that I wasn't bringing my best self to the table, and that my most recent application was much more complete, was much more thorough, had 11 different scientific references. I then turned it around and said to myself, okay, well, you know what? If I don't get it this time, at least I did my best. So the point here is there's nothing wrong with going back to, let's say, a quote boss, an owner doctor, and saying, you know, I know we've talked about this before. I've thought about this a lot, and I wanted to share with you some tangible data around why I'd like to discuss this again. I mean, think about how most owner doctors that are good people are going to react to that kind of approach versus, you know, I really hate this. I asked you this before. Why can't we order this other composite? Like, think about the difference.
Yeah, and I know that we have a lot of owner doctors listening as well. And they're probably saying, well, yeah, if they came to me and asked me for that, I would get that. Because, I mean, think of how an owner doctor thinks. They want you to succeed because the more you succeed, the more they succeed, right? You know, it's like they're taking that cut off the top to cover overhead and whatnot and make a little bit of money. And the better you do, the less complications you have, the happier your patients are, the more they succeed. So, like, really, the incentives are aligned on that.
100%. 100%.
One of the things that I've been told, and I was just messaging with someone on Instagram the other day, is they have a problem because they're an associate in this practice, and they were, I think, from Europe. They don't get to choose how the patients are scheduled. What are your thoughts on that?
I think a couple. Was there any insight into what the challenges were with this individual around not having control over schedule? I'm just curious.
I'm trying to think of the conversation and what exactly we were talking about. I think we were talking about my new scripts download that I was giving away. So I think it had to do with setting scripts. I think it was like they didn't have time to talk about these to set these expectations. I can't remember.
Well, if we're talking about expectation setting and not having the time, and feeling that there's a challenge with the schedule, I would imagine that there's something not going well or going seamlessly, or else we wouldn't even be having this discussion. So therefore, I would go back and think about, okay, what are the specifics around what isn't working? What are the tangible things that I can communicate that aren't working? What are the ramifications of those things not working, both in productivity production and time efficiency to then therefore have a conversation around the schedule. Because again, just like we said less than 5 minutes ago, if you can't do that for yourself in the privacy of your own home, then I would ask you to look at yourself and say, okay, so then what's really the problem?
Yeah, and I also think back to the previous example that we gave about materials is how do you know that you can't change the scheduling unless you talk to either the owner doctor or the front office?
Right.
Because we all know that if you've worked in a dental office, sometimes you have the front office and the back office that are kind of, at each other's wits. And everybody wants to have a schedule that runs smooth, right? No late patients, no angry patients, no angry doctors, no angry staff members. And sometimes it takes coming to these front office team members and having that conversation because they may not know what you're going through. All they see is the patient being mad when they leave or something, right? So their reality has nothing to do with your reality. And you have to inform them on what your reality is. Hey guys, listen, I know that when we schedule for X amount, we usually schedule X amount of minutes. What's happening with the back office is that we don't have time to clean up between patients. And so then we're late. That's why we keep causing so many patients to be waiting in the waiting room there with you. And I know they're getting mad at you. What do you think about if we tried doing this, right? And we could do it in a crucial conversation format, like how we teach in our Lightside Live events. But I would start with that. I would start with that conversation and a well thought out conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And as part of that, as you alluded to, you want to be as specific as possible. I would use specific days and times and scenarios. I think the other thing that owner doctors know but may not realize is that pretty much every time they're working with the most seasoned assistants that are in that practice. And those seasoned assistants, some of whom have different skill sets or things they can do that the less seasoned assistants can't. And so, although they know that, there are times, I'm not saying all the time, but there are times where we just don't necessarily realize the ramification of the fact that this assistant can't make provisionals and this one can, and how that impacts the schedule, as an example. So that's why being as specific as humanly possible, using facts and realities, will get you farther than feelings, because the feelings need to come after the facts, not precede the facts.
It's funny how a lot of what we're talking about is using communication to get past assumptions. And really get down to facts.
Totally. 100%.
Because we, again, are realists. And so the answer may be you have all these conversations and you get turned down for all of them, right? And that may be the reality of your specific associateship. Now, I would hope that the owner doctors listening to this would actually appreciate when an associate is coming to them with concerns, ways to grow, and coming to them with good communication skills.
Correct.
Which is probably not always the case. But I think so much is the assumption that my owner doctor, my DSO wants to just do this to make it easier for them. I mean, you're really, whether it's a DSO, whether it's a single practice owner, your incentives are aligned. I mean, as long as you're paid, on collections or production or whatever it is, the more money you make, the more efficient you are with your practice, the more everybody gets paid,
And I want
and the
to
less
tease out,
stress everybody has.
oh, 100%. And I want to tease out the assumption word too, because in my first coaching certification, that was a core principle. An assumption is as it sounds, but let's tease this out. It is assuming, sorry for using the word in the definition, that the same thing's going to happen. But unless the same exact variables, factors, and situation are present, that's not a fair quote assumption. So if you've had the conversation with an owner doctor prior, or an associate that is exhibiting a behavior you don't like, where we weren't starting with facts, we weren't necessarily utilizing crucial conversation framework, the assumption that the conversation won't go well again when we come in more prepared and structured is actually faulty in and by itself.
Exactly right.
You know?
Exactly right. That just shows how skills are more than just what happens with your hands. I love that. I love how you say skills are what happens between your ears and what comes out of your mouth, too. I mean,
Skills are
listening is a
skills.
skill.
And I think too, if you can truly, let's pretend you're an associate, if you can truly have a conversation with an owner doctor or vice versa, owner doctor with an associate about certain things that they're doing or not doing, and you're using a factual based perspective, you are using open-ended questions, you invite dialogue in the end, which is step five of the crucial conversations framework, and then things still don't happen or you're not received favorably or at least neutrally to agree not to disagree, to agree to disagree, then that tells you a lot right there, doesn't it? So using a structured methodology, a factually based approach that's in everybody's business with our interests aligned. And if we still get, well, I don't care, I don't want to do it that way, well, shoot, that tells you all you need to know. Whether you're an owner or an associate, doesn't matter.
So what other ways can our associate colleagues take back some of their control? Because that seems to be the biggest stress point for them, is they feel like they just have to do what everybody tells them to do. And every associateship is different, of course, but the general consensus is that they make less money, they don't have the autonomy that they would like, and that causes them stress.
Well, happy to talk about that. And I want to tease out from you kind of where your thoughts are coming from in this moment. Because we talked about, for example, the schedule, we talked about materials. Like, what other things are going through your mind that are predecessing the question? See what I did there?
I did. I mean, another example I think that a lot of associates tell us is I can never take a vacation. And I think this all comes back to a conversation before. And even so, the best way to do all of this would be before you accept the associateship, right? It's just like the complication compliance method, my one CE 70-minute course. So much of it is let's have the conversation before so that we don't have the awkward conversation afterwards. So, but let's say we're into an associateship already. We didn't have that great conversation at the beginning. We were young, we didn't know what to say, but now we are in this associateship. We're having these struggles and gosh, we just need a break. We just want to take a vacation, but that's not really in the cards for us.
So I guess my thought is we can come at this in two different ways. The first is kind of as you just communicated, where it's kind of a 911 kind of situation where you're like, I really need to take a break. The other is more of a planning perspective. And I would argue, you know, we're in the 911 situation because we didn't plan. Notice I said plan, not like in your contract in the begin with. Yes, that's the best part, but then the planning thing comes into the equation as well. So let me take that first, I think, if you don't mind. So the planning thing goes back to one of your concepts, expectations, communications, and boundaries. So if you don't have a clear understanding of what's expected of you from a production perspective, how do you expect to know when you're being successful or not? So part of the discussion needs to be, okay, I've been here now 6 months. I've been here a year. I've been here 5 years. My average production is X. How is that satisfying the expectations of the owner? Is it on track? Is it not? Et cetera. If it is, for an example, and we know that our average production is X per day, then, you know, we have a discussion around, okay, great. Then what is the expectation per year? And that comes from both sides. It's from what you want to make as an associate based upon your agreement and what the owner wants to drive. Once we have that number, then it's very easy to figure out how many days in the office would be required to hit that with accounting for like a 10% fudge factor, i.e., 10% more days, then the rest is gravy. Then the rest is your vacation time or CE time or and CE time. So how does that first answer your question from?
I love that from an expectation standpoint. It's funny how that comes from probably poor leadership, meaning that the owner doctor or DSO or whoever you are dealing with didn't give you what your goals should be. So you actually have no idea how much you're doing. So you then come as the now great communicator, now that you listen to the Wellness and Dentistry podcast all the time, and of course you take our courses and things, that you come and say, listen, I would really like to know what your goal is for me. And then, I mean, it makes it so easy, right? If they're
Well,
like, we want you to produce 1 million a year, and you're like, great, right now I'm producing this much a day, and last year I worked this many days, I produced this much. So if I produce this, I should be able to take a 2.5 week vacation then, right? And if they're real people that are, actually acknowledging what you're saying, it should be like,
Because again, as you've said several times today, your interests are aligned. Now, let's go to the opposite extreme where you're not hitting those numbers. Well, then, therefore, that gives us an opportunity, if we have a growth mindset, to then investigate what skills do we need to polish, pun intended, to drive that production up. Is it treatment planning? Is it case acceptance? Is it efficiency in certain types of procedures? Because it takes you twice as long to do whatever than it does the owner. So hopefully, the practice you're associated with, or if you're an owner, your practice has those metrics researchable, is that a word? For you to be able to
It
figure
is for
that
me.
out, right? So this is the same kind of thing when we talk about control. And as I said earlier, if you can't in your own self understand what it is or why it is that you want a different composite, then how do you expect to be able to communicate that? If you can't figure out, owner or associate, where there could be efficiencies gained or production increases gained, well, then what do we need to do to start tracking this stuff to figure that out? Because again, as you said, interests are aligned, right?
It's that was really good, Martin, by the way. That was very good.
Thank you.
Is it's based on data.
It's all
And
deep.
we dentists, like if you're listening to this, you love data. I know you do because you're a nerdy dentist, just like we are. And we love data. We love research. We love proof. We love facts. And what's great about living in today's world is we have so much data. I mean, almost too much data, right? But now we can analyze this so easy and look and say, what is my case acceptance? Look and say, what is my average production per hour or per day or per month or whatever this is? And once you have those data points, it's so easy to work backwards. But I think the part that many of us are missing, even if we have the data points, is the self-awareness about some of those. But data can help you get self-aware. That's what's great, is you could say, I produce pretty well. And then you look and you say, oh, wow, like when I do fillings, it's like $100 an hour. Like I'm losing money on fillings, right? Oh, crap. Well, what courses can I take to increase my efficiency with that? Maybe I can talk to the owner doctor. He or she's awesome at doing fillings, and they do them fast, and they have amazing margins, and they use rubber dam or whatever it is, and get better at those specific things to grow yourself. Because as an associate, I was an associate for 3 years before I started my practice. Actually, you know what? Even after I started my practice, I continued associating at Sasha Jovanovic's office at the Guide Center for 8 years. So I was an associate for a long time. If you are showing the improvement like that and coming to your leader and saying, hey, I looked at my efficiency with doing fillings, and I realized that my cost or my production per hour was fairly low. And I'm always having problems with getting the boxes to get contacts, and then I have to see the patient back and they're not very happy. And so what I did was I went and I took a course, or I watched you a few times. You may have not even seen me there. I was looking over your shoulder. And I realized that you do this, and I tried that, and it's working now. And now I've gotten up to the point where I'm doing multiple fillings in an hour, and I raised my production from $100 an hour to $500 an hour. They're going to be like, oh my God, that's amazing, right? Because again, the incentives are aligned. And what a responsible thing to do, showing your self-awareness, showing your vulnerability, I would even say.
Absolutely. And as I've said several times already, and if the person, the other party, doesn't at least recognize the effort that you're putting in, that tells you something right there. Because unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there who aren't that nice, that aren't that willing, even though if they really sat down and thought about it, they're working against their own self-interest. Now, let's talk about the person who is in a situation where they're like 911, I need a vacation. So that in that scenario, there's a lot of emotional stuff that would naturally come up relative to this situation. Why? Because you started, the challenge to me, something around the fact that, you just need a vacation, you're going to pull your hair out kind of thing. So what would it be like if you had a conversation around, you know what? I'm really feeling stressed out. I need a vacation. And I would like to work with you to align our mutual interests to understand what our mutual goals are for the practice so that in the future, we know that I can take vacations and not have it take away from any of our strategic goals for the year for this practice's production. Like, holy smokes.
I mean,
So,
you would be a dream associate to me.
totally, totally. So I guess what I'm saying here is use the 911. This is going to sound manipulative, and I don't mean it that way, because it's an opportunity. Use the 911 situation to your advantage to realize, recognize, and communicate that, you know what? This has gone a little bit too far, and I'm not feeling great right now, and I need to be in a better place for patient care. And I recognize that this is a partnership that if we work together, we're not going to be in this situation again. Right?
I think the big learning for me today, I mean, I feel like I learned a lot today, is I always learn from Martin. It's great. It's like I get free coaching by doing that. Not assuming things is one. Clarifying, setting goals, and using data. Is there anything I missed in that?
Say it one more time. I heard the last two, but the first one fled in my head.
Not assuming,
Oh, yeah. Okay.
clarifying. Now I can't even remember what I said.
The data, the data.
Setting goals and using data.
No, I think we should create something on this, because this is quite good. That's what I would say, because you're basically approaching it from a treatment planning perspective.
You're kind of right.
So, if you have someone that you're dealing with, whether that's an owner or an associate, who, is a very X's and O kind of person, or a ones and zeros, I guess would be a better example.
You're right.
Approach it from the analogy of treatment planning. We have to assess where we are today, where we'd like to go, and how we're going to get there, and what procedures and materials we're going to employ and deploy in order to get to that end result. And if for some reason we can't employ or deploy a procedure, a material, a type of restoration, and we have to consider other options, what are those options? So you can look at it as a treatment planning exercise.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah, it's good
Yeah, it's
stuff.
exactly right. And it's funny, in the beginning of my course, my Lightside Academy, we do an exercise that's kind of like treatment plan yourself. And it's very similar to this.
You know,
Well, I think
it's
this is great. I think
this
this is
is
awesome.
yeah, no, this has been good. I mean, it's been enlightening for me too, because some of the stuff we've talked about and went through from a structure perspective, really clarified some things for me too, particularly around the 911 situation. I mean, I mean, in the spirit of transparency, I pivoted to the planning one first because that was easier in my head. But then it occurred to me, I'm like, wait a minute, that's the reason why we're feeling 911, and therefore we can use that to our communication advantage to say, I think I have some ideas around how not to have this happen again. Because the last thing an owner wants is for anybody that is under their employ to come up routinely, even if it's once a year, and say, oh my God, I got to take next week off. I'm so stressed out. Like, nobody wants that. So.
Well, this is a good one. I learned a lot. I hope you guys learned a lot too. If you listen to this podcast and you're like, oh my gosh, my friend is an associate or my friend is an owner that has associates and they really need to listen to this, please send it to them. I know that when Martin sends me a podcast, it goes to the top of my list, and we would just really, really appreciate that. And if you want to learn how to have better communication with your patients, I started a dental AI company back in 2019 called Pearl. And one of the things we do is analyze digital radiographs and allow you to communicate with your patients so they can really understand what's happening inside the radiographs. That usually just looks like modern art to them, that they can now see what we see. So in the show notes, you'll see a link to set up a demo with my founder's discount. Just click on that, set up a demo. I'd love to hear what you think. And we will see you on the next episode of Wellness in Dentistry.
Take care.